Hi, this is Nathan Basil, aka Leslie Vernon, on Extreme Horror Replay. And you better listen or I'll scare the poop out of you.
Looking for that perfect gift for someone in your life, maybe a horror fan or a gamer, or even just yourself, check out Capital Costumes on Etsy. They have a whole range of 3D printed goodies and can tailor your order just for you. So visit Etsy.com/shop/Capital Costumes. That's CapitalCostumes. Etsy.com/shop/Capital Costumes, CapitalCostumes. And while you're there, use code XHR podcast for 15% off your order. So as you know, doing a podcast is a labor of love. We love you and you love to listen to us. If you'd like to love us a little more, you can visit our newly created Patreon at patreon.com/XHR podcast. And consider maybe donating to the show. You get some cool stuff in return, so it's not for nothing. Or you can visit our T Public store, order up a shirt, a mug, a sticker, a magnet, a pillow, a mask, a phone case, you name it. Head on over to our T Public store and pick something up for yourself today. The easiest way to get there is to go to our Instagram page, XHR_podcast, click the link tree in the bio, and get to it that way. I'd like to give a very special shout out to our first patron, Mark, from A Podcast on Elm Street. Thanks, Mark.
What's up, Goreheads, and welcome to another super duper exciting What the Fuck February episode. And we kind of pulled, well, I should say Nancy pulled an audible or called an audible on the last episode. The last episode was supposed to be 4, but the movie that we watched for 3 was worse than 4, so now 3 is 4 and 4 is 3, if you understand what I'm saying. But with that being said, my beautiful wife Nancy is with me today.
Hi.
We have another super episode for you all today. This one is not so much in the disgusting realm, at least to me personally. I think Nancy felt that this one was worse than episode 3. So with
I was shocked, but not in a good way.
And we'll have some reaction clips later in the episode.
I'll need some PTSD now, or PTSD treatment, therapy.
But we have our first patron. So Mark from A Podcast on Elm Street is our first patron. And as part of the Patreon tier that he's in, he gets to submit a would you rather to us. So his would you rather is, would you rather succumb to the fate of the teens in Sallow and eat shit or get tossed into the pit of needles from Saw 2.
I know what my answer is.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, VIP. I'd be scarfing down shit.
Okay. What is your logic? I know what my answer is, and it's actually the same, but why what's your logic?
Well, it's a matter of like hygiene and safety, but also, I mean, even Bear Grylls said that you can drink, if you're dehydrated, you can drink your own urine. And I don't see that there's much difference.
Okay.
In fecal matter. It's not like I'm going to go around and like eat stuff out of the toilet. I'm just saying
right.
That if I had to choose between the two. Like, if I had a gun to my head, I'd be eating the shit.
Okay. Okay. Yes.
But not enjoying it.
Right. Asterisk. Yes. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, my answer is actually the same. I would rather eat the poo, the shit, than be thrown into a pit of needles. Mostly because I know that. What a fucked up would you rather. Mostly because I know that the poo is technically just unused nutrients. And with the needles in the pit and saw two, there's no telling what's on there.
Well, and when you think about it, so shit is kind of like a byproduct.
Nancy does not curse in real life unless she's really, really pissed off. So hearing her say shit over and over and over again.
Well, if we're talking about, if we're close enough friends to be talking about eating it, I feel like I can call it what it is.
Okay.
But as I was saying, because it's a byproduct of, you know, your body filters out all the nutrients from the food, and this right. is what's left over. How is that any different than a lot of the other foods that are on the market? I mean, like we were talking about crustaceans.
Yeah.
They're bottom feeders.
Right.
And you're eating an animal that has sustained its life living off of garbage, the bottom of the ocean.
Essentially, yes.
You know, and I feel the same way really about pork. I don't like, because they wallow in it. And I mean, really, if you're eating a pork chop, you're eating something that was wallowing in it. So, okay. So you're fancy enough to eat that and not care, but you wouldn't, you know, have a plate full of logs.
Okay. All right. A plate full of logs. All right. Oh, wait, boy.
Do we get to choose the consistency?
Sure. I don't know. Yes.
Well, I think it would slide down easier if it was more liquefied.
You are fucking gross.
Oh, yeah. Like, you want it getting in your teeth.
Oh, God. Oh, my Lord. And there you have it. That's the answer. Ooh, oh boy. Wow. Okay. Oh man, the tears are running. Okay. I hope we get a lot of listens to this one. Oh man. Oh boy. Okay. So, whew. All right. With all that said,
now let's get into our classy movie that we yeah. watched.
Oh boy, this movie. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, the movie that we picked, or that Nancy picked, I have seen it before. Nancy has not, and much with the episode last week, Sallow, she went on a list of the most violent, disgusting movies to watch, the most violent, disgusting horror movies to watch.
So I come across this title, Grotesque.
Grotesque, yes.
And you instantly look at me. you can kind of tell you almost didn't want to say that you'd seen it.
Right.
Because then I would make fun of you for wanting to see it again.
Right. I wasn't going to step on your toes.
Yeah, but I mean, I was going to make fun of you regardless, so.
Okay.
So we watched, I mean, I knew from the get-go, the look that he gave me, that this was going to be intense.
It is.
And that piqued my curiosity even more.
Right. And there will be some reaction clips to it in a little bit.
Yeah, he was, Ben was.
I was secretly recording her.
Yeah. Without my knowledge. So these are like candid, you know, I didn't give the green flag to have them record me because they didn't even ask.
Right. So the reactions are genuine.
This is all he did. All we did was we watched a movie. We're like, this is a scary movie. Let's watch it. We've had a bunch of, you know, we see it online that it's a horrible, it's been banned in, you know, countries and.
Yeah.
So I was like, of course, let's do it. And we watched it. And I thought the last movie, the one that that we were going to have as the final one.
The shit movie.
Yeah. I thought that sunk to pretty low levels.
Right.
But this was beyond. This is like a thing of nightmares.
This was like Hostel without the Hostel.
Yeah.
But like turned up to 11.
But you really, at least in Hostel, you're kind of like, oh my gosh, this is what this movie's about. So you were kind of like, you knew after like the first couple of scenes that you were going to see a lot more of those.
Right.
Right. In this movie, every scene is a little bit worse than the other, than the first.
Right.
So there's nothing to prepare you for the next one. So you're like, they can't get any freakier than that. And you know they what? Do.
I have had so much fun with What the Fuck February. We should just do What the Fuck movies every damn month and really live up to our podcast name, Extreme Horror Replay.
Be put on the government blacklist.
Yeah, we're going to be, yeah, an NSA or TSA or whatever watch list.
Couple of real perverts.
So, yeah, as Nancy already said, the movie that we watched that she picked was Grotesque. It is an Asian movie from 2009. It scores a whopping 4.7 on IMDb. And At least
it was legit enough to get on IMDb, right?
Yeah, there's some that don't. But yeah, this is just, yeah, like this is one, like I said, it's like Hostel without the Hostel, but kind of turned up to like, I don't know, it's like 1.5 times Hostel.
Well, I think like U.S. films have to abide by the code of ethics.
Well, the MPAA.
So when you see a foreign film, you know going in that they don't have to live up to the same kind of rules.
Right.
So it's anyone's game.
Yeah, this is definitely a category 3 in Asia, China, Japan, wherever it's from. I'm sorry, I don't know where it's from. Asia.
But I mean, when you see some movies, you're like, this is what they call banned, and you watch it and it's like, there's nothing in it that.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of movies that aren't that are on like the so-called video nasties list.
Like Faces of Death, I thought that was real for years.
I think a lot of people my life. Did.
Yeah.
And then when I find out, when it turns out that it wasn't, a lot of people were pissed.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And it's kind of like, all right, it's anybody's game now. Anybody.
And
put
even
your hat in the ring.
Even though this movie is non, or wait, which is what, fiction. I mean, it's a fictional story. But you know that, I mean, once we get into it, there are people that probably do this kind of stuff, which is a little disturbing.
And these are the freaks that do the snuff films and the gross stuff that we would never condone.
But still watch.
No, I could not watch a snuff film. I couldn't. The Zapruder film was about as much as I can take.
Back.
And to the left.
To the left.
Back. And to the left.
But yeah, with that being said, again, the movie we watched was Grotesque from 2009, scores 4.7 on IMDb, and we're going to get into this one. So buckle your seatbelts, strap your, just listen.
Grab your hose and pull. No, grab your, I can edit it out. There was a good.
I'm not entirely sure what the saying
is. It was actually a quote from JFK, but.
Oh.
Grab your boots and hose and pull. I think that's what it was.
That's like your stupid picking rat turds out of salt or whatever. Pepper.
Mind you, I was like 13 when I saw that movie. So a lot of the stuff, when I watch it again, I'm just now understanding.
Here's another little backstory from Nancy. She was a huge JFK nerd when she was younger. And
so was Nari.
Like books upon books upon books.
We became experts.
JFK and the death of JFK.
Well, this is why I wanted to go into being a political historian for so long.
And she even went so far as to videotape herself doing a book report on a book about JFK.
It was a book review. Doesn't every 13-year-old girl do that?
No. Nancy is a nerd. Plain and simple.
Before it was cool.
Right. It wasn't cool back then.
Remember, so. I got the Presidential Academic Achievement Award in middle school. I got a pin and everything.
You are lame. So, okay, we're going to get into this movie now. It starts out, there's a man, he's sitting in a van, and he's sitting in a tunnel.
Did I say academic achievement? I meant academic fitness.
I don't know.
Sorry.
So,
just your typical 13-year-old.
He's sitting in a van. See, I just watched Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Animaniacs.
Yeah, that's not all you did.
Okay.
Oh yeah, change the subject.
We're not talking about dirty stuff. So anyway, yeah. Whew, that was a tangent. Okay. So, yes, this man is sitting in a van in a tunnel, and there's two teenaged or young 20s, a boy and a girl walking towards him. And as they get past him, he gets out of the van and he takes this 5-pound sledgehammer and he whacks them each over the head with it and kidnaps them. The next scene, the teens are tied up on this inverted table and they are gagged with a ball gag. And Nancy's first question was, well, it's just a wiffle ball with...
Yeah, you could breathe through the holes.
Well, I think he wanted them to breathe.
Why gag them then?
He didn't want them to talk.
So...
He didn't want them to die right away.
But he could have just strapped them to the board.
Yeah, but they had the option to scream and yell if they were just tied.
You can say a lot of things, I think, with a ball gag.
Yeah, but you're moving your lips.
but you've got air going through, so you could like enunciate at least some through the little holes.
Now we have to get a ball gag. So the guy is telling them that they're not allowed to talk, they're not allowed to yell, they're not allowed to make noise. And the male of the group, the man that's tied up, the boy, I don't know, he starts...
We'll call him victim number one and victim number two to differentiate them from the psycho.
Okay, so the male victim...
Or we couldn't. I mean, we don't have to go with that, obviously. Apparently.
I'm not going to remember which one is one and two. So the male victim is... they're both tied up on this table, this inverted table. The male victim starts making a bunch of racket through the ball gag. So this kidnapper, or this torturer, takes this, 10, 12-inch needle, and he sticks it through the holes in the ball gag into the guy's throat and stabs him. And, of course, the guy starts coughing up blood and choking on blood. And then, because he's still making racket, the guy takes the same needle, or the spike, I guess you would call it, and he sticks it into his gut. And, of course, at this point, the guy starts barfing. The victim. The male victim starts barfing.
That was pretty gross.
The vomit?
Yeah. With the ball gag on.
Well, yeah. I mean, it would be.
At least they had the holes.
But he didn't want him to choke. And he wanted him to be able to breathe. So then we immediately cut to a flashback where the male and the female are on a, I guess you would call it, date. The guy kind of looked like a pufferfish. We know.
Yeah.
We made a remark about. He just had a weird face. But so the male and the female are on this date.
It kind of made it seem like they were on like a Tinder kind of date. Like they didn't know each other before. And
I think they were co-workers. And because the guy said something about, like, I noticed you when you first came in so many months ago and had a crush on you immediately. And I think they were co-workers, but they don't ever say where, and they don't ever say, you know, what the job is or anything like that. So he noticed her, and they just happened to be out at a lunch, and, you know, he asked her, he says, you know, do you have a boyfriend? And she says, well, no, I don't have a boyfriend.
It was such a pure and budding romance.
It turns south real fast.
Yeah.
So then we go back to the present. And the doctor, I don't know. You never really find out what the torturer is.
Yeah. He assumes he has a vast knowledge of, like, human anatomy.
Human anatomy, yes. And he's dressed, I mean, he's wearing scrubs, and he's got a mask on, and he's got, like, the head, you know, like, the head cover on and stuff like that. But you never really find out if he's, like, a doctor or if he's just, like, a sick. Twisted. Yeah,
I guess some psychos would turn themselves into an expert on this stuff.
Just in order to be able to, like, you know.
Although, it wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility in real life to hear of a doctor doing something like that. Because there have been some doctors that have done some pretty shady stuff.
Well, I know there's doctors that do, like, the mercy killings and...
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, like, the underground, the doctors that are, like, secret psychos.
If they're secret, how have you ever heard of them?
Because they got caught.
Oh, okay.
Or, the other possibility is that there are no doctor psychos and I'm full of shit, which is also very likely.
But to your point, you never hear about the serial killers that haven't been caught.
That's true. The world will never know.
So, this supposed doctor, or whatever he is, strips the male and the female victims naked. And he's doing this just to get a reaction from each other, because he's taunting the male victim, and he says, he's got the woman naked, and he's taunting the male victim, and he's asking, you know, does this turn you on? Does this make you excited?
So this looks like a misogynistic, look what I can do and you can't do it. And you're not thinking that it'll go beyond that. You're just thinking that this guy, he's going to torture and sexually, like, abuse her in front of the guy that loves her and or likes her.
Right.
And this is where the movie's going at this point.
And to that point, the so-called doctor starts making sweet oral love to the woman.
Against her will.
He performs cunnilingus on her for a short while, and then he lingers on the woman's breasts for quite a long time. And then he starts to finger the woman to orgasm. And this is, like, a very extended scene. And
can I just say, like,
you may,
from a woman's perspective, if her mind's not in it,
this ought to be good.
It's not happening.
Okay.
A woman's not like a man that, you know, a bum off the streets could jerk you off and you could come. A woman is, like, emotionally invested.
Okay.
Into the experience. So if you're a woman and you're not feeling it, you'll be dry as a bone and nothing will happen.
Okay, but now I listen to a lot of podcasts while I'm at work, and there has been experiences or occasions where a rapist will say, well, oh, the woman was wet, so she must have enjoyed it. I think in
a case of torture, though, I mean,
how do I want to say this delicately? I think in a loving relationship, if a woman is not in the mood, then yes, she will be.
Oh yeah, she can talk herself right out of it.
I think in a loving relationship, a woman can.
She can look at the ceiling and just let them do their thing, and just wait till he's done.
Okay.
And then nothing.
That's never happened with us, right?
This is somebody else. You don't know her. She lives in Canada.
Georgina Glass. So, man. The doctor starts fingering the female victim. He starts fingering the female victim, and you can very plainly hear in the movie. Now, you don't see like a close up of, you know, anything happen. He's just moving his arm up and down under her skirt or underwear or whatever it was. But you can very clearly hear the
sound. Like beating scrambled eggs from a fork.
And then he's able to manipulate her to an orgasm wherein she squirts, which gets all over the doctor and everything,
which would never happen.
So
I know it had to happen for the movie, but in real life, it wouldn't happen.
Okay.
So a woman's orgasm is a gift. It's a gift that's given to you. From the love of a woman that loves you and cherishes you. It's a magical thing.
We have reached the end. But then he starts going over to the guy, and the guy's got his pants down, and the doctor starts jerking the guy off. He's like,
you're like, whoa, wait, what's going on now?
Yeah. And again, you can hear the, you know, sound of the doctor jerking this guy off.
You know what's going to happen. I mean, because guys are different than women.
They're like 6 feet apart. And this doctor guy, he asks him, like, can you reach that far? And so he's jerking. And again, you don't see this part. You just hear it. So he's jerking this guy, the male victim. And then all of a sudden, the male victim releases, and there's a splash of jizz on the woman's stomach. And again, they're like 6 feet apart. And he asks him, you know, before he finished, you think you can make it that far? You know, so... It's just a weird ass.
I think it is psychologically disturbing not knowing exactly what. I mean, this guy, the torture, is just assuming that the man is heterosexual.
Right. Well, and, I mean, they were dating.
Yeah.
And they were holding hands through the tunnel before he kidnapped him.
So the torture is almost getting off more knowing that he's heterosexual and that he's jerking the guy off.
I don't know how to respond to that.
It just makes it that much more gross that this guy would be so invasive into these two people's like psyche.
Right. Yeah.
And you don't know if the torturer is like bisexual. Maybe he's just
weird.
Yeah. I mean, maybe he has fetishes.
Obviously, there's something there.
Yeah. But it's very uncomfortable to watch. Or cringy, as they say now.
Yeah. So the guy starts making a bunch of racket again, and then the scene cuts. Now they're tied up on the table, and the table is laid flat. The so-called doctor gets out this chainsaw, First, he cuts off the male victim's fingers on both hands, and then he goes to the woman victim, the female victim, and he cuts off the fingers on one of her hands. She starts making a bunch of racket. So,
well, that's going to happen when you're getting your fingers chained
up. Yeah. She starts making a bunch of racket. So his payback for them making the racket is to take a pair of scissors and cut. So he takes a pair of scissors, and as payback for her making racket, he cuts both of her nipples off with the scissors. And then he proceeds to make necklaces out of the fingers and the nipples. And as a way of further antagonizing the male victim, he actually sticks one of the fingers in his in his nose.
I had no words when it was happening. I still have no words for it.
And at this point, they both of the male and the female victim pass out. So the scene cuts.
Didn't he saw off any more limbs?
Not right now.
Oh, okay. Sorry, getting ahead of myself.
So then they wake up, and the doctor asks the male victim, "Do you think I can torture you to a point where you will still be alive, but..." What does he say? He says, "Do you think I can torture you to the point where you will give up, but still be alive? If you can do this, I will save the female victim. I will not kill her. I will let her go." So the male victim says yes. This is the point where the doctor gets out a 10-inch barn spike, several of them, I should say, and he says, "I'm going to nail these spikes into your testicles, and if you can do this without making a sound, if you can handle this without making a sound, I will let her go." So
no, that's sweat off his sack.
That's exactly what he proceeds to do. He takes these nails, these 10-inch nails, and he hammers them into this guy's testicles.
Scrotum. Not the testicles.
Yeah, just... well, there was testicles.
Oh, was it? I thought it was just scrotum. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. There is a close-up, and it's a very, very close-up, so really you only seen, like, a wrinkled coin purse and... really?
Coin purse?
Chicken skin back? I don't know. So you see this, okay, so you see a close-up of this chicken skin bag with hair on it and the nails going in, but you can't really tell what it is. So
if you know, you know.
Exactly. So he does that. The guy doesn't make a sound. And he says, oh, like, hey, like, this didn't get you? How about if I pluck your eyeball out? So then he takes one of the extra spikes that he has left, and he pops the guy's eyeball out.
I can't do nipples, and I can't do eyeballs. I don't care. Puncture a scrotum as much as you want, but I can't stand eyeballs and nipples.
And he's like, and the guy still doesn't make a peep. So then he takes one of the, a hacksaw or something. And he's like, all right, you know, you did pretty good.
Yeah, he didn't get the reaction he wanted, obviously.
I think maybe I will cut your dick off. So that's exactly what he does. He takes his hacksaw and he cuts the guy's dick off.
And this is what I thought was strange is they didn't show the actual cutting.
They didn't show the cutting, but they did show the after product. So the doctor is holding the severed penis in his hand, and he's like, oh, I'm pretty impressed. You're, you know, awfully quiet about this whole situation. And he's like juggling this severed penis in his hands.
Uncircumcised.
Is he going to eat it?
And he ends up putting it on a tray, and he's like, all right, well, you know what? He says, I haven't felt anything like that before. Like, you guys actually gave me excitement. So, you know, you guys win. I'm going to let you go.
They experience a little glimmer of hope.
They do experience a little glimmer of hope. They wake up a little bit later, and
they're like, is he actually going to let us go?
Yeah, they're in, like, this hospital room. Yeah. Like, a clean room.
Like, he took them to a hospital to make sure that they were treated for their injuries.
Right. They're sitting in this room.
And they were.
And it's nice and bright. It's white. They're laying in a bed next to each other.
And remember, they had their limbs cut off.
Did he cut her arm off yet?
I think it was before that. Because she was in the hospital bed and she couldn't use one arm.
I don't think he cut her arm off yet.
Okay.
I think, no, he didn't cut off their arm. So.
But the guy's penis was gone.
Yeah, the guy's penis is definitely gone. And her nipples were gone. Her nipples are gone. He's missing an eyeball. Yeah, and obviously his testicles got nailed into. But so they wake up in this room and it's a nice bright room. They got flowers in the room. They got, you know, all sorts of.
You're thinking, hell.
Yeah.
He made do on his promise.
Right. And so he's like, he comes in and he's dressing their wounds. He's making them feel like they're comfortable. And he tells them, he says, listen, you guys get better. He's treating their wounds. He's dressing them. He's cleaning their bandages and changing their bandages. He's helping them go to the bathroom.
And it's odd because at this point, you're kind of thinking that this guy might have a few marbles left. Right?
Right.
Which is also kind of freaky. Like, he went that far.
Yeah. It's like he was only doing it to see how far he could go to feel something.
Well, right. And you don't see that happen in cases like that. Usually if somebody's going to do all that torture, they plan on just killing them.
Yeah. And that's one of those situations though, like, oh, you've seen my face, so I gotta kill you now.
Yeah. But he didn't. It's the guy was like not concerned at all about that, which was kind of like suspicious.
Yeah. Did you say suspicious?
No. You're hearing things.
Get out of here. At least you didn't say sus. So they're in this clean room and they're talking back and forth. And he says, okay, like in 3 or 4 days, once your wounds are healed, I'm going to let you go. And he says, okay, like, here's your medicine. You take your medicine. He's helping him go to the bathroom. He's doing all this stuff for him, bringing him food mm-hmm. and doing all this stuff. And then finally, he comes in and he says, okay, yep, it's here. Time to take your meds. So they drink this water. And the screen fades, and then they wake up, and they're back on the tables again. oh, wait, no, sorry. Back up. There's like a, I guess it would be like a healing montage. And the male victim actually says he has to use the bathroom. And there's this weird, very uncomfortable close up of his stitched up.
I must have had my eyes closed because I don't remember seeing that.
There's this very weird close up of the guy's stitched up penis area. With a catheter coming out of it, very like strange.
I can't look at that. I mean, the nipple thing. Okay, let me like kind of explain this. The nipple thing when she was getting them cut off, I couldn't watch that just right. Because I had a very bad experience trying to breastfeed.
Okay.
And I know the pain that can happen if they're just not latching and if you just can't do it.
Right.
Because when I did it, it was like more blood was coming out than milk. Okay. So you're naturally going to be like sensitive to that area. And then if they show the guy and he's got stitches down there, well, I didn't have episiotomy. They let you tear now. And I had stitches down there.
Okay.
So this is like flashbacks because women they do get this like amnesia after they have a baby, like, oh, it didn't hurt at all. So that's why, I mean, God does that so you can get pregnant again and have more babies. Okay. But when you see something like this, it gets you right in the feels. You remember that pain. Remember that pain of trying to breastfeed. Remember those stitches that you had put in. So it was a very intrinsic, painful thing to watch.
Okay.
And their makeup people were very realistic.
Very.
All right, sorry.
That's fine. So they wake up back on the table.
I'm just being honest.
I totally get that. I totally get that.
I had 5 kids.
I was there. I cut all the cords. So they wake up back on the table. And again, the tables are inverted. And at this point, the doctor goes to the guy and he says, listen, all right, I'm going to make one more final deal with you. And as Nancy said, at some point, her arm was cut off. But apparently, I completely missed that.
I thought that was like in the original when... Because remember I said it wasn't the original one when they're still on the board or when they were lying flat on the board.
Oh,
and I said they would have died from loss of blood.
He cut off her nipples, then her arm with the chainsaw.
And there was no tourniquet.
Yeah.
And those arms have arteries and veins. If you don't cinch them, you're going to bleed out.
Yeah. Right.
And they didn't bleed out, which is totally unrealistic after all the things that they've been through.
So, yes, my bad. Her arm was cut off. okay. So he goes to the male victim and he says, listen, I'm going to make a one final deal with you. He says, I am going to open up your stomach. I am going to pull your guts out and I'm going to attach them to this chain. If you can make it to those scissors on the floor and then cut your own guts in order to make it to her and cut her ties or her binds, then I will let her go. So he does exactly that. He cuts open the guy's stomach. He ties them to this hook on a chain. And he says, okay, there you go. So the guy, the male victim, starts like hobbling and limping and crawling and flopping towards the woman, and he makes it to the pair of scissors that are on the floor, and he turns around and he cuts his guts, and it lands with a sickening, you know, his guts obviously fall to the floor with a nice little sound. And then he starts crawling towards the woman, and he gets the binds cut on her feet, and then he like somehow claws his way up to the ties on her arm, or on her hand, her one remaining hand, I should say, and starts cutting them. And lo and behold, there's actually a wire through the tie that's keeping her arm tied up. And the doctor says, you know, like, oh, you know, you can cut it if you just try hard enough. And man, such a messed up movie. He actually dies at this point.
Wait, you missed the point where the bitch throws him under the bus, and the guy says, the guy asked, the torturer asked, if I kill him and keep you alive, or would you, you know, would you let me kill him so that you can live?
Right.
And she says yes.
Well, that's a woman.
Well, that's like the heartbreaking thing of it, because what this guy has endured.
Well, he did endure a lot just to try and rescue her.
Remember I gave you like this half hour long like lecture about giving your life for somebody else and...
Oh, I heard. I remember. So.
I like to enhance the movie watching experience.
By talking through it. So the doctor, so he can't get through the hand ties, and he ends up dying on the floor. Then the doctor goes to the woman and he says, I will let you live, but you need to show me your will to live. So she starts slinging insults at him, talking about how his mother was a whore and she smelled of like other men, and how the doctor smells like a, I think she called him a pig, like that wallows in, or
she's
called
obviously,
him a swine.
She's obviously not familiar with the inner workings of a male mind, because I could think of way bad, worse things to say to a guy to piss him off.
But, well, how, yeah. However it works out.
You'd be all like, I don't care if my mom's a whore. That's my mom, not me. His mom's not a whore. She's a lovely lady. I love her.
He ends up taking the chainsaw that he used before and cuts open her guts. And then he takes this axe and he's like doing these practice swings at her neck, doing practice swing at her neck. And then he hauls off and he lops off her neck with this axe, or lops off her head with this axe. And now at some point in this movie, or while we were watching it, Nancy had said, the only thing that would make this any worse is if he popped their heads off like dandelions. And I will insert that clip here.
What did I say about the dandelion?
I don't remember that part.
Wait, isn't there like a rumor or a theory that goes around that once you're decapitated, your mouth and your eyes still work for like a split second?
But so, and that's exactly what the guy did. So after he lops off her head goes flying up into the air. And there's this, could you call it a myth or a rumor? I don't even know. But there's a myth, or a, I don't know, a legend, I guess, that even if your head is cut off, you still have like 5 or so seconds of like cognition before you actually die, because there's still oxygen in your brain.
Isn't that what we were hoping? Well, not after it happened, but in Friday the 13th Part 2,
mm-hmm.
when they have Betsy Palmer's head, well, it was supposed to be her head, in Jason Voorhees' gross cabin in the woods.
Yeah, his little hut thing.
Yeah. The movie has its whole thing and whatever in the end. and it zooms in on the decapitated head of his mom. And right. You want so bad for those eyes to blink. For her
eyes to open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it doesn't happen. It's total buzzkill.
I think there was a cut.
I remember you saying.
Like a deleted scene.
Yeah, they took it out.
Yeah, where her eyes did open. But so, what do you call it? What would you call it? Not like a myth or a legend or a hearsay, but there.
Like they say that chickens can run around with their heads cut off.
Right, exactly. Yes. So, yeah, there's a.
It's like a reflex.
Something that says, yeah, like in historical moments, people that have been decapitated or whatever, their eyes blink or whatever. So her head goes flying up into the air after he cuts it off, and it comes down, and it just so happens to land perfectly on his neck, and she takes a giant bite out of his neck. And then the doctor falls over, and oh my gosh, lo and behold, the male victim is not dead, and he's still holding the scissors, so he stabs the doctor in the neck with the scissors. And then the scene cuts, fades to black. So then we cut to a scene in the woods, and the doctor is hanging the scissors on this wire in between two graves. And he says a quick prayer, and he walks off. And then you see him sitting in the van again in another tunnel. And a woman is walking towards him, and he says like another little prayer inside his van. And then he gets out of the van, and it cuts. And then you just hear him hitting this woman over the head.
Yeah, bludgeoning.
With the hammer. Bludgeoning. That's a good one. And then the credits roll.
So you're kind of left like, oh my gosh, he's still going on. He's going to do it again.
Right. So
this movie is sick. It's sick on many different levels.
So yeah, I have seen it before, and actually I don't even think I made it to the end, just for whatever reason. I don't think it was too gross for me, because I'll pretty much watch anything, but I don't think I made it to the end, so I don't remember that he actually lived and went through the whole thing again, or with somebody else, or started with somebody else.
I honestly don't think that they could top that with a sequel. Just out of morbid curiosity, I would see what they'd have for a sequel. Usually sequels aren't as good as the original. So probably wouldn't be worth it.
Now, Mark, again, from a podcast on Elm Street, messaged me the other day because he was listening to our Antichrist episode. And he asked, have you ever given a 10 before on the gore score? Because you did on Antichrist. So with that being said, if Antichrist was a 10 because of the scissor.
Can I go beyond 10?
10 is the limit.
Gore score 10 all the way.
Okay.
Just when you think you've been pushed to the edge with the shit eating, you come across a movie like this.
Okay.
Takes it to a whole new level.
Okay, so 10 on the gore score.
I've been out gore scored by myself.
Right. And then your overall score.
My overall score, I give a 2. Because like I said, I think I've said it before, I base it on whether or not I'd see it again.
Right.
And even though it kept my attention, it wasn't for the right reasons.
It did. You actually watched this the entire way through. Except for the couple scenes where you shied away.
Yeah.
But you didn't get up. You didn't, you know, commentated throughout the entire movie, but you didn't leave. You didn't.
Well, yeah, like I said, it kept my attention, not necessarily in a good way, but I rate the score on whether or not I'd see it again. And so I'm giving it a 2 because it kept my attention. So that's enough. That's where I'm limiting it to.
All right. Fair enough.
Okay. It is that gross.
So a 10 and a 2. Man, see, I've always said that Evil Dead 2013 was a 10.
Who the hell am I married to? A 10?
On the gore score?
Yeah.
with the face cutting and the fucking arm chopping and the...
That's a 10 for you?
You don't think so?
No.
Why not?
It's all Hollywood.
That looked more just as realistic as this.
Okay, well, you see a penis sitting on a tray, and you compare that to getting an arm cut off in Evil Dead.
America versus Japan or Asia.
Okay, so Japan, I guess they just have, they're more innovative in their their torture techniques. I don't know.
I can show you some Japanese movies that'll fuck you up.
I'm sure you could. Psycho.
So, okay. I will also give this a 10 on the gore score because
it's graphic.
It's brutal. And like I said at the beginning.
And realistic. Graphic and realistic is like.
I would say, to your point, I would say Evil Dead 2013 is just as realistic. The girl cutting her arm off with the fucking.
I'll give you that it's gross. Okay.
Yeah.
That would be a 1 on the gore score because it's one thing that was gross.
Oh, you are fucked.
I'm sorry, if you didn't see that coming from a mile away.
You're telling me that Evil Dead 2013 is a 1 on the gore score?
Did we ever do that movie?
Yeah, way, way back.
I don't know what I gave it, but I give it a 1 now. Compared to this? Are you kidding me?
Oh, God. Sign the divorce papers now.
You get them, I'll sign them.
All right, so yes, a 10 on the gore score, and I'm going to give it just a 3 overall because you never find out the motivation between...
You sick son of a bitch.
You are a twat. You never find out what the doctor's motivation is. You never find out, you know, like the backstory of, you know, the couple. You never really learn any of that stuff. So there's not really much of a story.
Her nipples. Off with scissors.
Okay, I understand. I think the gore in Evil Dead 2013 is just as explicit.
Well, once again, we're going to have to agree to disagree on this.
And you are wrong.
And so are you.
The girl cutting her face with the mirror, getting stuck in the eyeball.
That's all
with
CGI. They didn't use any CGI in this movie.
They didn't use CGI in Evil Dead 2013.
Oh, yeah, they did.
No, they didn't.
You
that
don't think
all
they
practical.
Did?
The only part in
all right, you get me the publication
only,
that says that it was all practical effects and no CGI.
The only part in 2013 that was CGI was the girl on fire.
Oh, okay. Okay, we'll go with that. Yeah. You know as well as I do, you're full of shit. That was like probably 50% CGI.
Oh my gosh.
And all of the gore scenes.
Now, there will be no more shows after today because of Nancy's stubbornness and whatever the word I'm looking for is.
And it was a remake.
You didn't even like the first one.
I didn't like the second one.
You certainly liked that one.
I didn't like that. I didn't give it a very high score, did I?
Yeah. I don't know. I erased all those episodes.
Okay, so I didn't.
So a 10 and a 3 for me for Grotesque. 2009, 4.7 on IMDb.
Yeah, that should tell you something.
Fuck you.
Fuck you.
So, yeah. We are Ben and Nancy from Extreme Horror Replay.
Married and totally in love.
God damn, we have a lot of fun doing this shit. You can find us on Instagram at XHR_podcast. You can find us on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, CastBox, blah, 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 down the line. If you would please give us a rating on... if you would please give us a rating on Spotify and rate and review us on iTunes.
And buy a friggin' t-shirt. Jeez. Yeah. Cheapskates.
We do have a Patreon now. So yeah, it would be awesome if you became a patron to our show. You get some cool stickers in return. You get to submit a would you rather. If you sign up for the second tier, you get to submit a movie. If you're signed up for the third tier, you actually get to appear on the show. Plus, you get everything from tier one and tier two. But yeah, so we have the Patreon. We do have a TeePublic now with a couple different designs. We're thinking about more to add to the collection for y'all to, you know, peruse over and buy. But yeah, so you can find all that information on our Instagram page. Click the link tree in the bio. Again, it's XHR_podcast on Instagram. And I think that's about it. So for, yeah, Extreme Horror Replay, I am Ben. Be safe and good. Be good. Dip.
Be goop. Gee-blippity-blip.
So from Extreme Horror Replay, I am Ben. Be good to each other and be safe. And to my pain in the ass beautiful wife, I will say
bye, y'all.
Thanks, guys. Take care. shit.